told the first service, it didn't hit me until I was sitting down there, that we're still here. I remembered that the world was supposed to end. I should have paid more attention to those sort of things, you know. But the world was supposed to end yesterday at some point, and it didn't, apparently, again. But I tell you what, not to make light of spiritual signs, because we certainly do need to be paying attention. The more we learn, the more we watch, like watchmen on a wall, we can warn people. But can I encourage us, encourage myself, always to let the knowledge of Christ's return press us on towards serving others and spreading the gospel. I'll worry about Christ's return when I see him, or I'll get excited about Christ's return when it happens, but until then, I want to be busy serving people, spreading the gospel, getting out there with every last breath that I have. But I did have an interesting experience this morning. I got here, and I was walking up the steps. I came to the youth area first, was walking up the steps at about 9:08 or so, and I heard the choir. I thought the full-on choir, it sounded like they had started without me. And that's every pastor's worst nightmare, is that you sleep in or something, or miss the cue. I guess someone would have came and got me, but as I was walking up the steps, I was kind of starting to panic. I said, it sounds like they started. And I got up here, and it was just four people, but man, they were loud. It sounded like a full choir, and they were just rehearsing. And Steve said, we'll find you. You're okay. Don't worry. And so it's just kind of been one of those weeks anyway. I was tired when I got here. And that's worked out good for Dennis in the past. So we'll see if it works good for me today. I will say that today, I guess it's a bit of a warning, although we got done early I guess I shouldn't say that, but we got done early. First time I've ever done that. But I said I would keep an eye on the clock because pretty excited about what I get the chance to expound upon today. This idea of being empowered to serve, because it's something personally that I've been studying and enjoying and trying to even develop workshops and different things along these lines. So let's just jump right into it. We're going to look in Acts chapter 1 this morning. Acts chapter 1, I'll read verse 1 through 8. So if you could stand with me and join me as we honor the reading of God's word together. Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, it says, "A former account, account I made," this is Luke's continuation of Luke's gospel, "so the former account that I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me. For truly John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.' Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' And he said to them, 'It's not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.'" You may be seated, please, and join me in prayer. Father, thank you for your word today that gives us insight and understanding about the gift of the Holy Spirit to empower us to go serve and to be your witness. Even these disciples who were so close to you kind of missed the point of that. They were excited about events and things and big things they wanted, and you began to explain to them that they would receive power to be witnesses. So, Father, help us this morning to understand and be refreshed again as to this incredible power you've given men and women. In Jesus' name, amen. So, power topic of power, it interests me. I guess that's maybe, hope that's no alert or concern to you. I know it's kind of maybe strange to hear, but I wouldn't say that I'm power hungry in that sense, but I am power hungry in another sense. I'll explain that. Please don't go and tweet that or share that yet. Let me explain myself when I say that I'm power hungry. Let me explain, because you're power hungry too, and I'll help us with that this morning. Our new devotional books that we're into now, the second, we just finished the second week. Dennis started us last week. We're all into connecting to God through ministry and service. Last week, Dennis began and launched us with how we're authorized to serve. And today, obviously, we'll be looking at how we are empowered to serve. So I will be talking a lot about power. And that's maybe something that pastors, you don't, or somebody who's serving, we maybe shouldn't, you know, talk about power a lot, because that's not seen as meek or humble. But let's be honest and share with each other that at least when we read the book of Acts, we see a whole lot of power. But honestly, in all of Scripture, when we read the accounts of how God used men and women who were surrendered to Him, I see powerful things happen. Powerful things. And thankfully, even beyond that, because of God's wisdom, often the weakest candidates are chosen to receive His power, and that gives me hope. I like that He chooses the weak things sometimes, and not the strong to give more strength to, but the weak often, who are surrendered and dependent on Him to give great power. And so people like you and I, through them, as we read in Scripture, the world was changed. Literally, history happened. Nations and cultures and lives were drastically impacted through people. God's great and glorious plan fleshed out through people, regular people like you and me, who received great power from God. And we still see it today. We still see it today. God working in powerful ways through those who surrender their control and trust in the Lord. So power is not an evil thing to be avoided by the follower of Christ. It should be natural among us, but we simply need to be very aware of where our power comes from. As soon as we start thinking that we have power in and of ourselves, that we've figured it out, then we're headed for a rude awakening, a quick fall. And it happens to me so very often. I hope I'm not the only one. We just read Acts 1:8, where it's clearly stated that this power is something we receive from God when we receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus spoke with excitement and anticipation about the gift of the Holy Spirit, about giving the Holy Spirit. He even told His disciples in John 16:7 that it was to their advantage that He go away. I'm sure that kind of caught them off guard a bit, because they were so closely connected with Him and following Him, and they'd left everything to follow Him. And He says, it's to your advantage that I go away, because then I can send the Helper, the Holy Spirit. So those of us here who have been born again, who have received new life through Christ, we are now possessors of a great power. Isn't that good? Haven't you always wanted a superpower? I mean, be careful what you choose, but yeah, in this case, we've got the perfect power. Don't hide from that. I'm going to talk a lot about this, all right? And so in that, it's so important, though, that we remember that we did not create this power, nor do we maintain this power. We are simply recipients of a wonderful gift, simply recipients of an incredible gift. You're familiar with John 15:5, where Jesus reminds us so beautifully and bluntly that apart from Him, we can do nothing. So truly, if we hope to serve the Lord and do it in an empowered sense, where we're not getting burned out and stressed out and feeling constantly like we're not where we're supposed to be, doing what we're supposed to do, if we want to be empowered for service, one of the first things is to recognize and to remember often where this power comes from. That it's not just a one-time thing, and but know that we remember often where our power does come from. While we may be benefactors of this power, we benefit greatly from walking and talking with Jesus, we are not the authors of this power. This power is given to us from God when we believe in Jesus and receive the Holy Spirit. And so the first point this morning that really I want us to hang on to is that this power begins with God, ends with God, and exists for His glory. This power begins with God, ends with God, and exists solely for His glory, not ours. And so this is, I understand, not new information for most of us here. You've heard this, and we maybe have... you already knew this, and so that was more information, but here's where the sermon, I would say, kind of begins, with two questions that you'll find in your notes, two good questions, I think, and can I encourage you that if you want good answers, practice asking good questions to yourself. Don't beat yourself up with these terrible questions. Why can't I do this? Why can't I do that? Why am I such a failure? Why do I always do this? Don't do that to yourself. Start asking better questions of yourself. How can this happen, Lord? Lord, how can you help me? And so one question that's kind of a general, broad question that I'd like us to practice asking ourselves is, am I living an empowered, victorious life? Ask yourself that often. Am I living an empowered, victorious life? Find creative ways to ask yourself that question. Doesn't have to be the same blunt question every morning, but figure out ways, morning, noon, night, throughout your day to gauge, Lord, am I living in your power and in your victory? It's, again, a kind of a general question, a question more to the point, especially for this morning, would be, are you satisfied, or asking yourself, Lord, am I satisfied with my level of witness, with my witness of Jesus to this earth? Lord, am I satisfied with my current level of witnessing your name to this earth? Because that's why the gift was given. That's why the power was given. You shall receive power to be my witnesses in all these places, in your home, in your schools, in your workplace, and wherever God sends you. And hey, you may think that, oh, to the ends of the earth, I'm not going to go to the ends of the earth. Some of you do, some of you will travel and be on mission, but there's this little thing called the World Wide Web. It's the www that you put before a website, which means that your witness can go around the world really, really quickly. And so we're called to have power in us that is used for the sole purpose of being His witness in all the world. So how satisfied are you with your witness of Jesus to this world? I use the word satisfied on purpose because it's a constant evaluation. Jesus calls His followers to be salt, to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. If I'm honest with you, those bring statements like that, verses like that, of course, bring conviction to me personally, and I'm sure when you read them too. But they also pull me towards something bigger, much bigger than myself. We've heard maybe these words too often, light of the world, salt of the earth, but let that sink in just for a moment. Light of the world, the world. That's what we're called to, is the light of the world. That's big, that's big. I like it, but I'm a little intimidated, and so I want that, and I'm sure you do too, but the question is how? How can I be light of the world? And as always, and so often, I fail to see this, but the answer always goes back to the gospel of Jesus Christ, the glorious gospel, the unique gospel of Jesus Christ. There's nothing else like it. I was radically saved years ago, as many of you were. But that's not just for my own enjoyment. Obviously, it's not for your own enjoyment to just take that and to enjoy that one day I'll be in heaven and I can live a pretty good life now. No, I was given way too much at salvation. I was just spoiled, as were you. It's called grace. This thing called grace is too big to keep to ourselves. It'd be equal to finding the cure for cancer and keeping it to yourself. What a unimaginable thought. But yet we have in God's word the answer that all men and women need. And so, yes, the gospel does press and push me forward. I can't keep this to myself. This thing called grace. No one else has died for me. No one else has cleared my debt of sin, nor do I know anybody else who has a chance to do that. No other religion, no other attempt, no other philosophy has any hope of clearing a person's debt of sin. So yeah, it's pretty awesome. No one else has proven to me that they know me better than myself, and I could go on and on and on. No one but Jesus. No one but Jesus. So yes, I want his power in my life, but not in a selfish way to make me better, but I desperately need his power in my life so that I may serve him and do the things that he's put me here to do. The gospel stirs us to action, right? The gospel stirs us to go. So the question then becomes, how can I best steward this gift that's been given to me? How can I best steward this gift of power so that I can be an extraordinary witness? Don't shy down from that. If anything, strive to be an extraordinary witness. Let that be your goal, your life intent, that you're going to figure this thing out. I'm going to tap into God's power and become the best witness I can possibly be. I'd like to look at two passages as we answer this question, investigate this question about being a steward of the gift, the responsibility of being the temple of the Holy Spirit. What an awesome responsibility to host that in our bodies, as 1 Corinthians 6 says, that we host the Holy Spirit within our bodies. So how can we carry that responsibility and steward it well? The first passage is Ephesians 5:18. It's in your notes. It's just a short verse, but we'll learn from it. It says, "Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Be filled with the Spirit. I find this very interesting, this concept of being filled with the Spirit and what that means. And oftentimes it's been the source of much debate and conversation as to, is there something extra? Is there something more? Can I be filled with the Spirit in some big way and do big things? And from my studies and understanding and coaching and teaching and from faithful men and women through the years, my understanding is that we receive every bit of the Holy Spirit that we're going to receive on our day of salvation. You're completely filled with power on that day of salvation. So what does this term filled mean? What could that mean? And it's a great illustration, comparison for us from Ephesians, where it talks about the difference between being controlled by a substance versus being controlled by God's Holy Spirit. It says not to be drunk with wine because that leads to all sorts of heartache. Because you're controlled by something else, your body, you're no longer in control of yourself. And so the idea here from this passage, which helps us to understand that to be filled in this sense means to be controlled, to be controlled. I love what I found in my study Bible to help me with this. It says that the filling does not mean Christians get more of the Holy Spirit, but rather he gets more of us. He gets more of us. I was talking with a brother after the first service, and he said, "Man, that helped me a lot." And said, "Well, share with me what you mean." He said, "I'm always praying, God, fill me with the Holy Spirit. God, fill me up. I'm saying, "Well, yeah, I pray that too." He said, "Maybe I shouldn't pray that way anymore." I'm like, "Yeah, me neither. I probably shouldn't pray that way either." I said, "We should pray and say, God, what part of my life could you control? If I get, you know, any part, Paul, obviously, but God, what part of my life am I not letting you control right now?" That's what the filling of the Spirit is that you're giving up more surrender, more control of your life to God. And so the first step in being an excellent steward of the gift of the Holy Spirit is to understand that an empowered witness, in your notes there, it's the first, I guess, or second point, an empowered witness has a surrendered life. An empowered witness has a surrendered life. I found that this principle exists in life that we give up to gain more. Dave Ramsey is famous for helping folks handle money God's way. And one of his most famous quotes is, Live like no one else so that later you can live and give like no one else. The idea is temporary sacrifice, learning to live God's way, handle money God's way, which doesn't look like what the world's doing. It would make no sense to the world. But to live God's way, honor Him faithfully, be empowered by His Spirit so that later on you can see what only He can do as you learn to live and give like no one else, talking about the financial realm. And so the idea of giving up to gain more is something that I believe has been around a long time. Jesus obviously embraced this and told so many different, again, beautiful but blunt truths about surrender. At the very beginning, the call to discipleship was one of complete surrender. In Luke 9:24, he says, "Whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." So surrendering to God is vital to the experience experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Surrender. So the two areas of surrender I want to talk to us about. These are basic, I know, but if I'm honest with you, that's where I'm at all the time. It's back to the basics, and learning truly to experiencing more of God. The first area of surrender I want to challenge us to this morning is to surrender your sin. To surrender your sin. If I'm honest with you, that's the number one thing where I see myself pulling back control from God. I get close, and I say, well, God, I just can't wait in this area. I don't say that, but practically that's what I'm doing. God, I know a little better than you, so I'm going to go do this. I'm going to think this way, or I'm going to pursue this thing over here. I'm going to get distracted by this. I don't do it intentionally, but I quickly find that my sin keeps me from experiencing all the power that God would want me to experience to be His witness. And so, how badly do you want to be His witness? I want it pretty bad. I believe it's the very thing that will satisfy you the most. No matter where you're at. This guy in the video was great. Alfonso, I think, was his name. So satisfied. I mean, I'm watching that video saying, what a hero. Well, I mean, this guy should just be, we should have specials on TV about this guy. He should be, what a hero. But he's caught up in this whole thing of being a witness of Christ at all expense. And so sin, yes, I don't want it in my life. In fact, I'm even willing to surrender my sin in order to gain God's power, to give up control to the Spirit and say, show me, help me, be your witness. And I really like it. I think it's really helpful, because here so often when we talk about sin, our stance is this. We're just trying to keep it at bay. Just keep these sins away. You know, if I can just be strong enough to keep all these, you know, my secret sins here in kit. And it doesn't work that way, because I'm weak. I eventually can't hold up the barrier any longer. But when I put my eyes further out here on the goal, which is to be His witness, and I want that so badly that I'm going to pursue it, guess what? No longer interests me very much. Sin. I don't even notice it. So surrender our sin. The second one is to surrender our goodness. Surrender our goodness, because here's what happens to me. Is when I do that, I put my eyes on the prize and I say, I'm going there, and ooh-wee, God, did you see that? You gave me victory over that sin. Yay, God. Oh, this is awesome. And I go serve and have some good experiences and bump into some people in the community, and I'm talking to them about Jesus, and ooh, I got all these good stories. I come home, tell my family, write little articles about them, get all excited, and all the while I don't realize that what slowly is happening to me is I'm patting myself on the back. I didn't know I was doing it. I didn't mean to, but somehow I start patting myself on the back. And the way I finally realize that I'm patting myself on the back is because I'm back on my knees again, confessing, God, I'm sorry. How did that happen? How did those words come out of my mouth? How did my attitude get so off kilter? How did my heart get so cold? How did I miss that opportunity? Someone, you know, I had the perfect opportunity. And He reminds me, Paul, I'm glad you're talking to me about this 1 John 1:9, you're confessing your sins. That's awesome, Paul. How long has it been since you've done that? Oh, I don't like that. If I'm honest with you, I'm saying, oh, Lord, boy, I thought I was pretty good, and I'm just not. So surrender our goodness. Really, it's about being in a constant state of repentance. That's the safest place to be to experience as much of God's power as you possibly can. I say, oh, Lord, make me aware of my need for repentance, and may it lead to obedience. The second passage we'll look at is Galatians 5:25. Again, a short passage. It says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. The second way to be an excellent steward is to understand that an empowered witness stays in step with the Spirit. An empowered witness surrenders. An empowered witness stays in step with the Spirit. If I'm honest, or if you know, when we, if you're honest too, when we started talking about power, we start thinking about big things, grand things, these big visions that God may have given you about what you can do or how you can serve, and we begin kind of maybe beating ourselves up, even saying, "Well, if I had more power, I could do that." But as Dennis would famously say, "Stop it." He's good at saying, "Stop it. Stop thinking that way." This verse reminds us that this is a walk, not a sprint. This is a walk. We're to stay in step with the Spirit, which I see as a learned obedience to His pace. A learned obedience to His pace, and we are not in control of His pace. It's a walk. It's a journey of learning how to stay in step with the Spirit. We'll talk more about this tonight because I really want to investigate the need to be flexible. When we are seeking the Lord for His power, the need to be flexible. One of the most helpful gifts that God's given me lately is beginning to understand this, that it's not about the big things or the great things we have in mind. It's more likely about the small little steps we take each and every day. He's directing these steps. I mean, you may feel like it's so small and petty that He's wanting to teach you just a little bit more about something. Because we want to get onto these big things, but He has in mind what He's building in you. He's got this picture, this idea, and He's got it worked out, but it's the small things, the small steps that get us there. This is really a God-given gift, a kind of a perspective shift that takes us out of the driver's seat, again, surrendering control, and it moves us to greater dependency upon God in each moment of every day, asking every day, Lord, who, what, when, where, and maybe even why. I think it's good to ask why. God, I think, enjoys helping us understand why, because there's a lot of wisdom in why. God, why do you want me in this ministry? What, I don't understand. God, why did you bring these people to me? Why do you put this group on my heart or these people on my heart? Help me understand. And then who and what and when and where. I love that Jesus woke early in the morning and went out and got alone with the Father long before He began His busy day of serving. That was His habit. And may it be ours as well, that we wake early in the morning. In just a little while, we'll have prayer time. And during that prayer time, that's one of the things I want you to ask is, who, what, when, where, and why, Lord? Who, what, when, where, and why? You may be surprised at the answer you get. But spend time listening and learning from Him. Two points on this, just to kind of sum it up, is the small things build up to become big things. The small things really build up to be big things. Because when we talk about power, we think of the big things. But can we please appreciate the little things He's doing in our life? Because those build up to be big things. Maybe just a bit more patience this afternoon. Maybe just a bit more wisdom tomorrow. Maybe a little bit more understanding. And then that next moment, a little more understanding. It's a walk. Sometimes He does just pour it on, and we feel like we're drinking out of a fire hose, and we're just learning more than we can learn. Other times, it feels like it's dried up. But He doesn't. He is faithful to show us. It's His pace. The small things build up to become big things. And secondly, His ways are higher than our ways. He is the director of our steps. He's the director of our steps. We want to be on His path, acknowledging the Lord in all our ways, and He will direct our path. And then He's also the director of our steps along that path. I'm having fun with something. I'm really learning to work on goals and path and goals, and I'm really enjoying that because from a Christian standpoint, that's really interesting. You can set some goals, and the next day, God just switches them right around. And then you set another goal on that goal, and you say, God, this is it then, this is it. And 2 days later, he has you going this way and this way. So come back tonight, as Paul Harvey would say, to hear the rest of the coffee story, okay? We'll have fun with that. You remember my coffee story about giving up coffee? I'm not going to say what's happened, but come back tonight to learn about flexibility. It's so important what God says. Sometimes it's humbling, and sometimes you just learn not to say a whole lot out loud. Okay, so God is faithful. He's teaching us the fruits of the Spirit growing in us so that we do become more patient, more loving, more kind, more gentle. Goodness, self-control, kindness, faithfulness. He's developing that fruit in us. So it does require a lot of flexibility. It does require the giving up of control so that we can enjoy just how full the Spirit is in our lives. And that we remember where this power comes from. Be flexible, be surrendered, be wise, but be empowered most of all to be his witness to change the world. And be power hungry, all right? Join me in that. Let's be power hungry for his power and be people that just are the light and salt of the world. Or better said, let's be great stewards of this power that's already in us. We don't have to go get it. It's in us. Let's steward it with excellence. It's worth it. Because you really do matter. You really do matter. God has a specific plan for you, and it is beautiful. He's called and commissioned and even commanded us for great things. You haven't run out of time. You aren't the exception. He will empower you more and more to serve others and help change the world in ways we can't even imagine now for generations to come. You're the light of the world. So we're going to enter into a time of prayer, and I've already kind of given some instruction on that we would find our place of prayer. If you're watching by way of live stream, that also you would join us in this, seeking the Lord on who, what, when, where, and maybe even why, Lord, when it comes to serving. Because again, I truly believe that is the most fulfilling thing you can do with your life, is serve him with excellence, not in your own strength. That'll burn you out quick, but in his power. So let's get alone in this place and turn this into a place of prayer. I'll be down front here. If any of you have something you'd like to pray over or share, or I can encourage you in some way, or any decisions even to join the church, or even today you may say, I want to know more about Jesus. I've got some questions. I'll be down front to talk with you, and we'll have an invitation after our time of prayer.